go. And the thing took off and started to go off course, so it blew itself up, crashed back to land. And where they take off from is Alaska. It's Astra. They don't have a fancy name of the rocket. The rocket is called Rocket 3. This one's called 3.2. But that rocket will take off this week. It should take off on Thursday. It'll be around, I think, around 2 p.m. I'll look for that, see if they make it. They take off in Alaska, Kodiak. It's called Pacific Spaceport now. It's called the Kodiak Spaceport. And I kind of like to see them make it to Austin. And if they do, and they can do this on a regular basis, they'll be able to bring up, small satellites, some 100-pound satellites to orbit. And there's a lot of companies doing this right now. You have Rocket Lab. They've launched Electron Rocket. They've launched 13 successful missions. And you have another company that's about to do it with a small payload launch. That would be Virgin Orbital, which is, similar to Virgin Galactic, owned by the same guy, Richard Branson. He's going to be launching. And I found out, he's got this rocket called the Launcher. And he tried doing it a couple months ago. And the rocket fired, but then it shut itself off. He's got these his own rocket, they pulled the Newton engine and shut itself down. But now he's going to try again this month to see if he can launch a rocket from the belly of a plane. It's not too unusual. Northrop Grumman is doing it with the Pegasus rocket. They bring it up on a Lockheed L-1011. They've launched like 40, a little over 40 flights over the year, many years. So it's doable, but Virgin Orbital would like to get into the game. And they'll be able to launch small satellites as well. And that's pretty much it. I'll just turn it back to Dr. Roy. Roy, I wanted to ask you about the COVID question. I think I sent you a message about wearing two masks. I think two masks are better than one. I wanted to see what you think about it. So Joe Biden does it, and Dr. Fauci does it. You see them a little closer. They have two masks on. That's what I've been doing anyway. Back to you, Roy. AC2GS. This is WSU.
Thank you, Paul. It's kind of belt and suspenders. Yeah, if you're going to only use cloth, two layers of cloth are better than one layer. It adds a bit of a resistance to breathing. Some people might find it a little bit more uncomfortable, but it's a little bit more protective. If this was a perfect world, they would be readily available, N95 masks. If you'll notice, Amazon and other places, you basically can't get an N95 mask. Even doctors who just flash their credentials can't. You have to prove a necessity for it and get put on an allocation list. So you're stuck with the Chinese KN95, some of which are complete rip-offs, and the others, no one really quite knows that much about them. So all things being equal, if you can deal with two cloth masks, it's a little bit preferable to one.
Okay, Roy, very good. And if the numbers keep going the way they're going, I'm going to make a contact with somebody I know in NASA and see if I can get myself a spacesuit. Back to you, Roy. WS2N, we'll be listening out.
Yeah, you're joking, but there are some infectious disease specializing hospitals that use far more protective gear. There was one in Italy where it was so good that none of the people work there got the infection from work. So, if you can dress in a spacesuit, It's scary out there, and it's going to get a little scarier for the short haul. The holiday seasons are coming, and there's more than enough people in denial who are going to put everyone at risk. And so if I was anyone betting on these things, which I wouldn't, it's going to get worse before it gets better. After New Year's is over, then it'll start to dip down, and people will social distance, hopefully, a little bit more effectively. And then in the springtime, hopefully, the vaccines will be readily available. That'll cause other political problems until you get enough people to for it to work, that it limits this to a major annoyance instead of a plague. So that's my 2 cents worth on the COVID virus for these days.
Okay, thanks for that, Roy. And, okay. Yeah, usually I'm going to announce that tomorrow night is the ClubNet, the Club InfoNet, on these repeaters. So anybody that's listening, you don't have to be a member to check in. It's at 8:30. Back to you.
Hold 2 questions for you when you get a chance, Casey, when I say.
Okay. Roy, can I go?
Certainly.
Go ahead, Sam.
Personal insight. Is that still pounding away and trying to put that probe deep into the ground? And the other question I had was thinking about Hubble. And looks like it'd be slowly coming down. Is there any plan now to kind of boost that up back up high again? And I might be totally wrong. Maybe it's not coming down too much. But I thought I read somewhere that it was. Over to you.
Oh, yeah, it's creeping down little by little. Doesn't have any thrusters on board. So the only way to save that would be, come up with a mission, give it to SpaceX. They're pretty innovative. And have them go up there and dock with them. One of the last missions, or the last mission, Earth service missions that went to Hubble. Over the years, the last one they actually put a small docking collar on the bottom of the Hubble, thinking that maybe we could eventually attach something to it to deorbit it properly, so it just doesn't come down over Los Angeles or something. So they had that in mind, but it wouldn't be too much trouble to send a craft up there, attach it to it, and push it up even higher. Keep it going for a lot more years. The problem is things might start wearing out, like the gyros. The gyros are doing good. They put all new gyros in. I don't think any of them failed. There's 5 of them in there. They don't need 5. They got new computers, new everything. The thing is still working. It was last service, 2009. Here it is all these years later. It's still at it, still going. So that's the story on Hubble. I guess it's creeping down. I haven't read anything. I don't think it's that, getting into a situation where it's ready to burn up. Let me drop it. Because the last mission, they did push it up extra high to keep it up there longer. So, and inside is the Mars mission. Went up a few years ago. It's still sitting on Mars on the surface. Successfully got there, and it had a couple of major science things that it wanted to do. One of them was to put a seismometer on the surface, which it did. That was successful. They had a robotic arm. They put the seismometer on the surface, and they had this big cover that went over it. Prevent it from getting any debris or even any kind of breeze, even though it's a mild breeze, nothing touching the seismometer. So that all worked good. It's still working today. But then they had the HP3, I think the device they called it, this mole that had to bang itself into the surface. Drop it. And, it's similar to what, let's say, an electrician or somebody from a water company, one of them, have a pound the hole through, through a surface, say, under your driveway or something, you would have this mole do it, and, inside this mole, there's a heavy weight acting as a hammer, and it constantly goes back and forth, hitting the inside of the mole, and then forcing it, into one direction. That's how they do that. Well, that's what this was, except it was around 14 inches big. It wasn't like, 5 feet deep, but bigger. It was, 14 inches big, and not too big in diameter. And it was supposed to hammer itself into the surface of Mars and go around 15 feet. It was 3 meters to the ground, but roughly about 15 feet down into the ground. And I know I've talked to Sam about this before, and it didn't make it. It went down, inches, and then it stopped, and they couldn't figure out why. And maybe there's a big rock in the way under the ground, and then they realized that it was the ground was a lot softer, more like light gravel instead of a heavy dirt. So as this thing pounds itself into the ground, it's supposed to, the further it goes down, it's supposed to gain some grab, some friction from the outer surface. But it wasn't doing that because everything was like kind of loose, very loose dirt, not compacted enough. So they tried everything. Make a long story short, they finally got this thing to start digging down. They eventually wound up putting the shovel on top of the weight, on top of the mole, as the thing pounded itself down. As it pounds itself in, it's got this cable that looks like a hard line, coming off of this thing, and this cable is, has the electrical power that's powering the motor inside the mole, and it's also got these sensors in it that will eventually send measurements back to the lander. And the idea is to dig a hole big enough into the ground, and then these sensors will pick up the amount of heat, at 1 foot down, 4 feet down, 15 feet down, and through that they can extrapolate and figure out how, what the temperature is, 1,000 feet down or in the middle of the planet. That never worked. So now they, over the last couple of months, they did manage to get it under the ground, completely under the ground. And last I heard, they were going to take the arm and pick up more dirt and put it on top of where it's located, trying to, increase the density or the weight surrounding this mold to hopefully let it, once it starts going deeper and deeper, it should be able to go all by itself down to the 15-foot level. So, I haven't gotten an update on that. That's where I'm up to right now, Sam. But if you want any further than that, if you read about it, let me know. KC1SAM, WS2M.
No, I haven't seen anything on it. I'm just curious. Obviously no special reason for that. I'm just curious if they got it to work, and I guess they got it to work. At least, for a distance. Okay, just curious. Yeah, and I saw at Hubble, one of those guys, SpaceX, maybe, I don't know, someone was going to raise it up to the, they're still doing good, but I'm not sure where that is. There is something where it's coming down. Obviously, everything must come down eventually. I guess nothing special about that either. It's still working. So, all right, KC1SAM, I appreciate your comments. I'm back over.
Yeah, we'll talk to you hopefully during the week or not sooner. Have a good night. Back to you, Roy. AC2GS, WS2N.
Thank you, Paul. Frank WB2BXO on EchoLink might have a comment, so let me drop the repeater for a little while and give him a chance to signal if he's interested in adding something here. Oh, well, I guess not. Well, it's been fun, people. I love the conversations. I enjoyed myself. I hope most of you enjoyed yourself as well. As I always mention, the participants make or break these technical nets. Otherwise, it's just be babbling to myself. I want to remind everyone, as always, that if you have any questions that you can't reach through radio, the technical net, or if you have any topics you would like to hear discussed, or if you have any puzzles you'd like to share with me that I can share with the rest of people, or some space news that you picked up in a YouTube or a website or in a newspaper and you would like Paul's opinion, the email to reach us is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. And as I mentioned frequently, the link to some interesting articles. I put up a very interesting, informative article on pH curves, a little video on a guy playing with the new nano DNA that I just received, and the link even to the Deep Space Network, which is how we still communicate with those distant things that we've launched off of our planet. So the link page is roy.ac2gs.com. You go there and click on the links and you're there. As always, want to thank Mike, AC2NJI, for his archive of the technical net. So going back to September of 2006, there's a lot of wisdom in those audio recordings. So please avail yourself of them. And as I end each session, I remind you of one of the wisest cops of the wisest men that I knew, K2RIW. He would often end the full net by urging people to be kind to each other. And for good advice in general, but especially these days, it's very, very important. Kind, be good. Don't just tremble in fear. Be smart about it. Lower your risks as much as possible for yourself and your loved ones and your neighbors and everyone else, and we'll get out the other end of this tunnel. Please have a safe week. Have a fun week. Enjoy yourselves. Please come back next Sunday night at 8 when we'll try and do this all over again. This is AC2GS, Roy, and I am clear.
Oh, I think it's a long screen. We'll have a moment to read it. I can give you a couple of comments for the record. Yeah, stations are really kind of noisy, but it's a Tuesday on the show. Yes, station, if you can give your audio a little more punch, you might be readable. A lot of back along the city of God, you can see the echo. Yes, station, can
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
And 2ION mobile.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
And 2ION.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
And 2ION.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
This is Casey from QYM at 7 Y, New Jersey, listening.
Anybody around?
W2VL repeater.
WH6Y. This is N2ITD. What's that, you? This is N2ITD. Good morning and good evening from the other side of the world here. My present QPH is the Philippines. Oh, I thought I was hearing somebody. I guess this is just the repeater. This is N2ITD. Still listening.
W2OSR mobile.
WB2CSE. Good timing. Just turn the radio on.
Oh, good morning to you. I am on my way to Costco.
got to get there early so I can get in as a senior.
Oh. I don't know what their weekday hours are. Okay, anyway, as long as you're having fun.
Yeah, senior hours were from, I think, 9 to 10. I just heard on the radio this morning that they went back to 8 o'clock, I think.
Probably their senior holiday hours.
That's what I've heard. We'll see what happens when I get to the store. If there's a big line, I'm not going.
Yeah, gotcha. Unfortunately, I can't. Oh, there's still a bunch of things that are missing, and I can't understand why.
Yeah, well, what was it, a week or two ago, I took my wife with me, and we went to BJ. We saw Kleenex. Oh, we haven't seen Kleenex on the shelf in one of these stores for ages. So I bought them, got them home. Not Kleenex facial tissue. They're Kleenex towel in a box that looks like the facial tissue.
Oh, that pop-up one, yeah. They work good if you need them. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I've seen Kleenex tissues. They seem to come in and out. The one thing I haven't seen in about 6 or 7 months is Lysol.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I saw someplace that was selling aerosol cans of isopropyl alcohol.
This doesn't seem particularly safe.
Well, working in the laboratory, there was always some kind of alcohol around. Most of the time, it was methanol.
Phone call.
Yep.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WB206.
Good morning, Steve. 32 Cambridge.
Oh, hi, Charlie.
How was your weekend? Do anything interesting?
Quiet. Just pretty much status quo. Oh, I hate this. My hand is killing me. I gotta put the mic down.
It's okay, KD2KNH standing by.
You be too zero.
W2OFR.
Good morning, Bob. KD2KH.
Oh, hi there. What are you doing today?
Well, I'm heading to Stony Brook University. That's my first call. Have to walk across campus. Luckily, it's not windy today.
Okay, which building are you heading to?
Actually, the student union. Student orientation was moved from their old location in the Melville Library, so yeah, it's a nice new building.
Oh, I know where it is. I've been there a few times. Lunch.
Oh, very good, yeah. I made the mistake of trying to go there last week, and they were shut down for the week, so, you know, parking fee for nothing.
Yeah, I usually was able to get a parking permit, but that's almost worse than going there and paying for the parking. And one woman in the parking office knew me, and she saved me money several times. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. Sounds like maybe Doreen over there. I used to have a permit, special services parking, and, then they kept doing away with the spaces until they were almost non-existent. They wouldn't let you park in a lot of places, and got to the point where I didn't have that many machines to really justify having the permit, I guess.
Yeah, I can understand that. Let's see. Went to the Bragg Chemistry Building. I went to the Stony Brook Library complex area. Actually, was going into a building next to that in the University Hospital. Those were the two complexes that I was in the most.
Yeah, basically the same thing for me, so chemistry building, environmental sciences and all those, and, the library and throughout the hospital. I still have some equipment over there, and, it was convenient to just be able to park and walk across and have an access there so you can get through the doors. But everything changes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure the campus has changed a little bit since I was out there. I started out there in 73, and wouldn't go out for a month, and I come back, and the whole traffic pattern in the campus had changed.
I know what you mean. It's always something different. I just went back last week, and they blocked off one of the roads, and then you used to always be able to travel through. So there's always some changes going on.
Yeah, and I forgot about the other place that I went to a few times. That was their science incubator campus right near the hospital.
So you mean the incubator?
Yeah, that's the place.
Yeah,
knew a few people there. Actually, there was, they wound up out there. What was it, EZN? Anyway, it stood for Easy Enema. Small company in Westbury, and then they started doing some sort of research out there.
Well, like I said, that's the thing I always enjoy. You're always traveling someplace different, and always a different challenge.
Now, that was the part of the job that I liked. I mean, one day to the next, I might not be in the same place. I had some of my better accounts. I was there quite a bit. Actually, so many times at the Rockefeller University that some of the custodial staff thought I worked there full time.
I think every place I go, they think I work there full time. Like, they always want you to have an office, but not a paycheck. Anyway, Bob, I've got to pull the antenna up and get into the parking garage over here. So, always a pleasure speaking with you, and you enjoy the rest of the day, and maybe I'll catch you later. I'll listen out, KD2KH Clear.
All right, take care, Charlie. Have a good day out there. I'm almost to where I'm going here at a Costco. W2 always on.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2OSR.
W2VL repeater.
Here is WB2DAV listening.
W2OSR.
W2VL repeater.
Bad timing, Bob. I'm 2 minutes from my destination, WB2EAV.
Well, I'll say good morning to you at least, Ed.
Good morning, Bob. How's your best?
For a guy my age, not too damn bad.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Every morning I get out of bed, there's a new ache or a new pain, but I've been surviving it.
That's good to know, good to know. Meanwhile, I'm going out to shift this coming Saturday and the following Saturday. I'm burning too much gas.
Yeah, I know, it's a long trip out there. Anyway, if you get over near the mess hall, just take a look and see if the antenna's still up out there.
I assume you mean the one by Hayden.
That'd be the one.
It's possible. All right, I'm here.
All right, yeah, my chances of getting out there and using it anymore are minimal. Take care. Have a good day, W2OSR.
You enjoy WB2EAV.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is N2ZUC Mobulus.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
KB2REK listening.
KB2REK, this is KD2VCQ.
VCQ, how are you? It's Brian, Fred Austin. KB2REK, how are you making it today?
Hey, Brian, this is George. Good morning. How are you? You're breaking up a lot. I'm getting like every other or every third word.
Yeah, you know, Oyster Bay, roughly speaking. But I'm, and when I'm clear, so maybe you say, we're clear now. Good.
That's fine. I'll be around for a little bit. I'm going to be out and around, but, you know, I'll be on most of the day.
This is Vance 2 ZUC Mobile listening.
KG2VCQ. Hear your call sign.
KG2VCQ, N2 ZUC, good morning.
Morning, Sig, how are you?
I think you said Sid, it's Ron, Roger, Oscar, November.
Sorry, Ron, I didn't hear well. What was your call sign again?
November 2, Zulu Uniform, Charlie.
Morning, Ron, this is George. How are you today?
Bright and shiny. It's a nice day out here. I'm almost home. Just left a chiropractor and an adjustment, and that's it for today. I'm staying home for the rest of the day. How about yourself?
My company's got me working on a four-day work week, so my Monday is a day off. So I'm just sitting here relaxing, enjoying the sunshine, taking some practice general exams online, getting ready for Saturday to take the test, and just having a cup of coffee and enjoying the day.
Well, good luck with that. When I took my general, I forget if it was 10 words, a minute for code. I was so nervous. I'm sitting on the chair. It was a student chair. They had classes. I don't know if it was a high school or what it was. I forget. And I almost fell off the chair when it started. And then the examiner says, well, you passed. You passed this way, that way. Three ways I passed. So I did very well considering. But I was so nervous.
Well, I know how you feel. I mean, the tests always, I never like taking tests. You know, they always make me tense, but I usually do pretty well. But, yeah, I felt that way when I started taking the technician exam. I took the first two questions I didn't recognize at all, and I was sitting there trying to figure it out, and I was like, good Lord, maybe I read the wrong book.
And then the mind isn't as sharp as when I was much younger. But it's worthwhile. It's a lot of fun. There's so many different facets of the hobby. It's good to get an eight, Chuck. I'm pulling down the block. I'm going to wish you a good day. Good luck with the test, and I hope you do well in Tuesday Juicy listening out.
It was nice talking to you too, Ron. I look forward to talking to you again. You have yourself a great day. Thank you. This is KG2VCQ out.
1KG2VCQ, 82NFJ, Sam.
KD2ASJ, this is KD2BCU. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Fine. Man, you really sound good on that antenna. I was the first one you talked to when you first hung an antenna out the window. But man, you really came a long way.
Thank you, Sam. That's not the same antenna I talked to you on. I bought a Diamond X30A antenna. I received it a couple days ago. I put it together and put it out on a 5 foot, 1 inch PVC pipe that I put over a 8 foot steel grounding rod to hold it up, and it seems to be doing a little bit better for me.
Yeah, it really is working here in Baldwin. you were on last night talking with what's his name? I'll think of it in a minute, on the TechNet about your antenna system. It sounds good.
Thank you. Yeah, I was talking to Roy. I think he's the one that runs it. Do you happen to know the frequency of those TechNets? Do they run that every week, every month? When do they run those?
Every week, just where you were, every week. Yeah, Roy, he's there every week.
I mean, he's really good. I ran out of questions. I actually have to go read some more and get a lot more information in my head to create some, and think about everything to create some more questions. I mean, he answered them like they were nothing.
I know. I looked up that fan, FAN antenna, but you got too many legs coming off from the bulb, barrel. You know, I don't have that kind of roof. But you know what? I looked up there's an antenna called Super Antenna, right? But you gotta tune each frequency. That's the only bad thing. You can't just jump around on your own. You gotta move the dial up, it's called a screwdriver type. And you move it up to your frequency. There's a built-in frequency counter, and you go right to it. It's really nice to where you are, but it's a vertical.
I don't know if I read anything about that. For some reason, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, did I read something that has that type of radius, that antenna has poor harmonics?
Yeah, it's really a good antenna, but it's kind of pricey, okay? I think it's a little more than $200. But it covers all the bands from 2 all the way up to 80. And there's a load that you put in. But you got to move the screwdriver part, you just move the butterfly up and then you slide up on the coil. It's like a long coil inside of it, completely vertical. I think it's 10 feet. And you just move it up to 40 meters, 20 meters, 30 meters. But it really gets out, but it's pricey. It's called a super antenna.
Sounds pretty cool. That might be interesting. I'm going to take a look at it. Again, you know, I don't know enough to say that it's not good for me. I still have everything to learn, so I can't be really limiting anything. Because, like I said, I don't know enough to limit it.
Yeah, well, everything you talked about to him, it sounds good the way you're going to set it up. But you're going to have wires running everywhere, and I was trying to tell you. I don't know what gets out better, diagonal or vertical, I don't really know. For space-wise, and there's another one called apartment antenna, and that's really, really nice, about $149. And what it does is it has a built-in, no, not built-in, it's an outside meter, and it points straight out. It's like a load with the coil wire, and it sits up about 8 feet there, and it's like telescopic. And you put it out, and you put it right on your windowsill, close the window down on it. It's built with an antenna track, a window track. So you lift the window, you put it in the track of the window, close the window, and you got it. But again, you got to set every time you're going to talk. So I don't know if you want to run back and forth, but that's a really good antenna. And it goes from 10 to 60 meters. But you got to open the window, move it to 10 meters. But the meter is nice. It's just on the outside of it. You just set the meter to where you are. That's another really good one. It don't fit no space. It's called an apartment antenna.
That's cool. I wrote it down. Thank you. I appreciate you thinking about that and letting me know. I'm thinking, talking to Roy last night, he said it's not impossible, it's not a bad thing to have multiple antennas occupy the same space. Because I'm thinking about out on my deck, under the deck planking, there's those 2-inch, 2x12s that are visible. I don't have anything under them. I can look up into the beams. And if I put multiple antennas up in there, as long as I'm only using one at one time, I was originally concerned about, like, reflector reacting, you know, like a reflector on an active antenna. But he said, no, that's not really any problem as long as I don't put them too close together. And I got the feeling I could put – I'm kind of focusing on a 10. I like the 2-meter and the 70-centimeter because I could do that local, and I could use the diamond antenna that I have. Originally, I was looking at 40-meter, and I think I still might. I think I might have room for a half-wave 40-meter out there. But I'm also looking at, based on Roy's information, he was saying that the 10-meter has been getting much better, and it should, over the next 5 years, improve. So I'm going to probably be concentrating on between 10, 20, and 40 meters. Again, as I learn, maybe that'll change. I'm not sure at this point, but I'm starting to. I've expanded originally from the 20 meter. I went to the 40 meter because I was reading the military recommends anything under 8 megahertz for like skywave, vertical, you know, the NVIS, skywave propagation. So I was kind of looking at the 40 meter, but I understand that you could also do that on 10 and 20 meter as well. So I'm kind of focusing on 20 with 10 and 40 as secondary interest. But I think I'm going to definitely put a 20-meter out there. If I can put a 40 and a 10, I will. And then I'll have, you know, 40, 10, 40, 20, and 10, and then I'll have the 2-meter with the 70-centimeter.
I think it's George, right? I'm pretty sure your name. But that's a good idea. Go with that. You know, forget about all the other stuff. Last night they took me to uncharted territory, for they were going on about this, some kind of meter that you buy and you can set everything. Oh my God, I never knew there was so much to all of that. But what you just talked about is good. That's what I'm going to do. I got to take my general exam and I'm going to keep what I have. Oh, the one I have now is 6, 10 meter, and 70 meter. It's all made into my radio. I have a gauge to it. And it has 4 meters in it, so the antenna I got is called a power meter. It's magnetic. And I have it in my room, and I'm moving it up to the attic next week. So I'll be able to get out further. But I do have 10 meters. But I go on there, but nothing's really clear, you know. I hear the frequency, but I don't hear clear voices. I don't know what it is. I even tuned to the channel that he's on every Sunday morning. But he said that Nassau County doesn't pick up Queens really good, so I understand that. But yeah, the way you're talking about is good. 10, 20, 40. 60 and 80, if you can just get out to California, Bahamas, stuff like that, that's all you really need. And the one that you have now is really working really nice.
Sam. Actually, I don't remember when we first talked, if I was on my Baofeng, but since that, since I had the Baofeng, I actually bought a Yaesu 7250D. So I'm on that radio now. It's a dual band, Yaesu 7250D with the diamond antenna. So I might have been speaking to you through the Baofeng with a 2-meter emergency antenna that I had hanging out there that I built. But in any event, yeah, the conversation last night, I found it fascinating. I really enjoyed it. It went into high energy physics and talking about the Big Bang, and then we got into the Voyager a little bit. I mean, it was really, I was surprised that it went that way, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not a physicist, I'm not an engineer, but I definitely have an interest in those areas, so I really enjoyed the conversation.
It was out of my league. Trust me. But yeah, but it's good. And it's good information. And sometimes I picked out some things that I want to look at, you know. So yeah, I've only been in about a year and a half. And I'm wheelchair sort of bound. You know, I have Parkinson's, so I can't get around. So that's why I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this exam when I get ready to do it. But other than that, everything else was all right. The Yaesu is a nice radio. Oh, my God. I really love this one. And I can't get around. But I don't remember what antenna you had when I first was. So you said, I'm new. And then I said, let me pick this guy up and let him know that I can hear him. Weren't coming in clear. So I don't know if he was on Seldom or Glen Oak. Right now, you really sound super clear.
Oh, thank you, Sam. Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. You helped me a lot. I'm sure, why don't you talk to Roy, man? I mean, you know, as far as getting access to a test, I'm sure somebody can make some kind of somebody can help you get it done. I'm studying right now. I'm doing the tests online, the practice exams for the general, because I plan to take that Saturday and that pass, and then I can start looking at the high frequency. I got, you know, like I said, I got the Yaesu 7250. I'm actually looking for the 891 right now. I want to try to get that in anticipation of the HF. But I still have to do a little more research because I don't know if that handles single sideband or not. I don't know if that's a separate unit.
Yeah, am I saying it right? You're George, right? What is sideband? I never understood it.
You're asking me. Okay, I'm going to give this a crack. From what I understand is a radio signal is made up of electrical and a magnetic components, for lack of better verbiage. And the magnetic, it's kind of like when you used to have a tape recorder, when you used to talk and it used to put a signal on a magnetic tape. I think this kind of modulates your voice. It interprets and modulates your voice onto a magnetic signal that it lays onto an electric signal. That's what I think. And I think the magnetic portion is like, on a certain frequency, it's like 3 kilohertz, and there's 2 sidebands. There's the electrical portion, and then on that portion, there's an upper sideband and a lower sideband. There's also something called the vestigial sideband. I'm not sure what that is. I can't define it. And I'm not even sure if I'm giving you a clear definition of this. But my understanding is there's an upper and a lower sideband on every electronic signal that you send out. Apparently on the high frequencies, you want to typically use the upper sideband, and on the low frequencies, you want to use the lower sideband, I think. Again, don't go to the bank on that. But, I mean, if you look up sideband, you know, AM sideband, I'm sure there's a million explanations out there.
Okay, GTP, I can give you the exact explanation if you wish.
Yeah, go ahead and explain it to me. I remember, we just got a call that came in to try to explain it to me. But I remember when I was in CB, up in lower sideband, I know it is, like, right on the original frequency. The caller just came in. Go ahead.
Well, if you know it from the days of CB, it's still the same. Every frequency that you transmit on has the main carrier. Is like, let's say, here it's 146.85. So that's the main frequency, that's the main carrier. With that, then you have side vent, or up above that 600, that main frequency, or just below that main frequency. And then if you talk about radio stations, they have even sub side vent. So every radio signal that's being transmitted has the main carrier, has an upper side band, and a lower side band. And that, it used to be in the days of CB, it's exactly the same as in ham radio. So in the case of amateur radio in HF frequency, you have the main carrier, which is the AM signal, then you have for some of the bands, they use the lower side band, and that's for like 40 meters and 80 meters or 160 meters. And then for the other ones, like 10, 15, and 20 meters, they use the upper side band. And basically what it means is that it transmits at a frequency slightly higher or slightly lower than the main carrier. I hope I explained it. Go ahead.
AC2GF.
Yeah, okay. I was waiting for the truck. Yep, no, you explained it perfectly. When I know about my CB radio, I understand it. It rides on top of the main frequency. Your explanation was really good. Thank you. I'm going to stand by.
AC2GF.
AC2GF.
Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. It's Roy here.
Good morning, Roy. How are you?
I'm fine. I was listening to your bits of your conversation. Sideband isn't quite that. What happens is when you're transmitting amplitude modulation, not frequency, not phase, but amplitude modulation, AM, you generate information on two sides of your carrier frequency. So if you're transmitting AM on 1 megahertz, make it real simple, and you send a 3 kilocycle audio hum, it will add to the 1 million, so 1,003,000, and it'll subtract. So it'll be 997,000. So those are the side bands. They have all the information. The carrier is just a reference point. They figured out in 1950 a way of using circuitry to get rid of the carrier and get rid of one of the two side bands. That increases the amount of signal going to the information by 75%. So it was a much more efficient means of transmitting AM type of information at the cost of having a little bit more complicated receiver that injects the carrier frequency. And you could either use upper or lower. Amateur radio operators decided to settle on the upper side band at the higher frequencies and the lower side band at the lower frequencies.
Roy, thank you. Roy, I really love your show. You know who this is. Roy, you all put on some show last night. But Roy, you lost me. When you all talk about the meters and everything and dialing in, I was in untried water. But thank you for explaining. Man, it's good to hear you in the morning. This is Sam, KG2NSA.
Yes, Sam. It's good to hear you as well. I enjoy it, especially when there's a lot of interaction. And you know me. I mean, I like to go through the entire range. I mean, if you ever look at my QRZ page, I have a laundry list of different fields that you could throw out on the science portion of the technical net. And I like to talk about all of them. Like to talk about antennas. You were mentioning to George that you were calling the MFJ an antenna, an apartment antenna. We talked about that multiple times on the technical net. It's rather flimsily designed. MFJ kind of cheaped out. It tends to corrode rather quickly. And it's a big pain in the tuchus to retune it, because you have to, if you put it outside, you got to open the window and change the clip on the inductor. And the other one that you were talking about was great for a mobile antenna. It's a shortened vertical with a basically an inductor or a spring. You know, inductors look like springs at the base. It's tuned, but it's not terribly efficient.
Right, thank you for clearing it up. Yeah, I only read about it, Roy. I never used one. And I was just reading about it for space-wise, you know, because, like, I'm in the house here, and the neighbors don't want me to hang big stuff off the roof. But, yeah, thank you so much. All right, let me finish up letting them talk. But, Roy, it's a pleasure to hear you. Wow. You're very learned.